Og husna hjurvele, og husna hjurvele, hjurvåsna hårvele.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, a podcast of all things Scottish, with music, features, interviews, and more, on the web at www.simplyscottish.com.
Kajareli anamula krnyak moyakh skilamunyol rivinyol inyvroli khayr spujakh kervos kurer afonev o yusna hyurvela o yusna hyurvela hyurvosna horovela mokhrnyak nangura trauma yemi kajareli.
Welcome to Simply Scottish, the half-hour show of Scottish topics and music. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening today. Our opening music was from Highland-based Scottish Gaelic quartet, Cruin. More from them in a moment. This is the first episode in a new series called 6 Degrees of Scotland. Today we look at the connections between Scotland and electricity. And we'll highlight content from the current issue of Scottish Memories magazine, Scotland's premier nostalgia magazine. Simply Scottish is available on iTunes, the Celtic Radio Network, select radio stations, and simplyscottish.com. If you're interested in getting the show on your local public radio station, get in touch with me and I'll see what I can do. And if you enjoy the show, join our listener community online, facebook.com/simplyscottish and twitter.com/simplyscottish. Let's turn to music. From their debut album, this is Cruin again with Oran Celia.
Na altam hwan chach le to hwyr slem leir ver Michigan. Fact of fuck and drank the hook is Fion Hanyan Michai. Hand harsh in an engage is was is she the gushkin.
Yeah.
Scotland may not be the centre of the universe, but it's a valuable nation that has consistently punched above its weight. Scotland's people, passionate, friendly, and tenacious, have provided the world with amazing discoveries, inventions, and ideas. They have traversed the globe, bringing their unique brand of humanity to every corner of the world, benefiting fellow man with their industry and strong sense of community. To illustrate Scotland's intimate and powerful connection to the world, and the world's connections to Scotland, Simply Scottish is launching a new feature called 6 Degrees of Scotland. It's the assertion that almost everything and everyone in this world could be 6 or fewer connections away from Scotland. I'm not guaranteeing that this will be the case 100% of the time, and sometimes things or people may be connected by a degree higher than 6. It's more of a fun challenge to see how deep and wide Scotland's influence reaches around the world. I want to thank Kelly Unger in Seattle, Washington, a loyal listener of Simply Scottish and a colleague of mine at the Discovery Institute, who gave me the idea for a feature like this. It's only fair that Kelly got to choose the first idea for the series, electricity. That's coming up in a moment. First, a little history. As the 20th century advanced, technological advances in communication and travel made it possible for friendship networks to grow larger and span greater distances. After World War I, ideas about social connectivity were popular. In 1929, Hungarian author Frigyes Karinti expanded on these ideas in a short story called Chainlinks, in which characters created a game connecting each other to anyone in the world through no more than 5 connections. Karinti postulated that although the physical distance between 2 people may be great, their social distance was less so. At first, the 6 degrees of separation idea remained in academic and scientific circles, and numerous studies and papers attempted to empirically demonstrate the theory. Over the mid to late 20th century, advances in computer technology and the advent of the internet allowed for greater connectivity. In 1990, American playwright John Garr wrote a play popularizing the theory. As one of the characters states, "I am bound, you are bound, to everyone on this planet by a trail of 6 people." The play was turned into a movie in 1993. The following year, college students in Pennsylvania invented the game 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, with the goal of connecting the actor Bacon to any other actor in no more than 6 film or TV connections. In recent years, producer J.J. Abrams has incorporated similar ideas in his TV shows. And most recently, social network giant Facebook released results of studies showing that between 721 million users with 69 billion friendship links, the average distance is 4.74. A similar study involving Twitter's 5.2 billion relationships found that 50% of Twitter users are only 4 steps away from each other, with nearly everyone being 5 steps or less away. When considering the broad topic of electricity, it might be useful to start with a quote from English scientist Sir Joseph Swan, who said, "There are no inventions without a pedigree, meaning that nothing is developed in complete isolation. An inventor always draws on the work of others that have gone before." So in calculating the degrees to which Scotland and electricity are connected, we would have to choose a point in the history of electricity. Electricity, the physical phenomena associated with the presence and flow of electrical charge, has been studied for centuries. But not until the 17th and 18th centuries were humans able to give it practical use. When they did, it transformed society, and it's now the backbone of global industry. We could, of course, say there is only 1 degree between electricity and Scotland if we chose the work of James Clerk Maxwell, the 19th century Scottish mathematical physicist. Maxwell, who presented his first scientific paper at age 14, studied at the universities of Edinburgh and Cambridge. His lasting contribution to physics is a set of calculations describing electricity, magnetism, and optics as a single phenomenon, the electromagnetic field. His achievements in this area have been called the second great unification of physics, after the first one by Isaac Newton. So Maxwell's contribution to our understanding of the properties of electricity, a key prerequisite to every development that followed, gives us a degree of one. But we can't stop there. Around the same time as Maxwell, another man was studying similar fields in Scotland. William Thomson, Lord Kelvin, was born in Belfast and moved to Glasgow with his family as a young child. Kelvin studied at Cambridge and Paris universities. In 1846, he became a professor of natural philosophy at the University of Glasgow, a post he would hold for more than 50 years. Kelvin developed a mathematical analysis of electricity, including the basic ideas for the electromagnetic theory of light. He helped unify numerous theories into the emerging discipline of physics. As an inventor, he also had a career as an electric telegraph engineer. He developed the current balance, or the Kelvin balance, the precise specification of the ampere, the standard unit of electrical current. He also invented a series of instruments to measure electrical current. Based on a life of work in Scotland, we could consider Lord Kelvin as Scottish, and to have a degree of one to electricity. However, going by birth and blood, his maternal grandfather was William Gardner of Glasgow, giving him a definitive degree to electricity of two. There are still other ways to connect electricity to Scotland. We'll discuss those in a few minutes. First, here's music from Blazin' Fiddles. From their new album, Six, this is The Lads Like Beer.
Thank you.
You're listening to Simply Scottish. In addition to a degree of one between electricity and Scotland through the work of James Maxwell and Lord Kelvin, we can make the connection other ways too. Historians can list over 20 inventors of incandescent lamps prior to Englishman Joseph Swan and American inventor Thomas Edison. James Bowman Lindsay is one of them. Lindsay was a Scottish scientist and inventor. In 1835, he demonstrated a constant electric lamp at a public meeting in Dundee, saying he could read a book at a distance of 1.5 feet. Because he did little to build on this innovation, his efforts are not well documented or known. Lindsay gives us a degree of one in connection to electricity. If we want to use Thomas Edison as our electricity connection point to Scotland, it's also possible. Edison took an early interest in the technology of his day. After working to improve telegraph operations, he invented the phonograph in 1877, which brought him great popularity. Edison established the first industrial research lab in New Jersey, where he and his assistant studied. In 1878, Edison formed the Edison Electric Light Company in New York, and the following year invented and patented the first commercially practical incandescent light bulb. He went on to develop an electricity distribution system, DC, or direct current. Although not the predominant system today, it's still used in various capacities. According to research verified by Rutgers University, Edison's mother was Nancy Elliott Edison. His maternal grandmother was Mercy Peckham Elliott. Edison states that she was born in Connecticut and was the daughter of a Scottish Quaker. This connection to Edison would be a degree of three. Then there's a work of Scottish-American Nobel Prize-winning chemist and physicist Irving Langmuir, whose study of light bulbs at the beginning of the 20th century led to improved lighting technology. He was given an honorary degree from the University of Edinburgh. His father Charles was an insurance salesman who came from a Scottish family. Although I could not calculate a degree for Langmuir, I'm certain it would be less than six. If you have a suggestion for a future episode in this series, let us know. You can tweet me using the handle @SimplyScottish. You can post a message on our Facebook page, facebook.com/SimplyScottish. Or send us a line via our website, simplyscottish.com. In a moment, we'll preview content in the latest issue of Scottish Memories magazine, where the focus is transport. First, here's the lovely sound of the Uilleann bagpipes, from Arc Music album Celtic Mystery. Scottish Memories magazine is a delightful read for anyone interested in Scotland's past. We've teamed up with the publication to bring you highlights from the magazine. The February 2014 issue has a transport theme. One featured article, by Helen Ross, is called The Triumphs of the Tram. For 90 years, Glasgow's tram system provided its citizens with a cheap and reliable method of travel. Trams were an everyday part of life for many Glaswegians, and fascination for this form of transport often began in childhood. Beginning in 1872 with a horse-drawn line, the network, managed by Glasgow Corporation Tramways, grew to 1,000 municipal trams covering 100 miles of track by 1922, making it one of the largest urban systems in Europe. Another article in this issue looks at the history of cycling, recalling the early days when empty roads and open countryside made pedalling a pleasure. George Forbes writes, "The long and winding highways of wilder Caledonia yesteryear used to be much freer, emptier, and devoid of motorways than in modern days. Biking provided an exciting yet economic way of keeping fit and occupied during the Great Depression, when street corners were clogged with the unwanted, idle, unemployed, who had little to fill their time and no money with which to dissipate the interminable hours. Cycling, by contrast, offered relief, release, and a diversion into another world far from the grind of city life. Scotland, with its many scenic routes, lent itself to bicycling as a pastime." My father, Andrew McDermott Sr., spent a number of years in Scotland's capital city as a bus driver. In his prime, he could navigate Edinburgh's busy streets with ease, on single and double-decker buses. In this issue, James Hendry explores the Scottish Vintage Bus Museum, located in Dunfermline, which offers a trip back to the days when buses were often the only form of transport available to ordinary folk. Back in the 1970s, weary travellers could return from a day in the hills to await their train in a staff station with amenities not common today. David McVeigh writes about the West Highland Line, the rail route running from Glasgow to Fort William and Mallaig. It served mainly small, remote communities and was an excellent means for opening up the hill-walking playground that the trains ran through. After a day of climbing the Cobbler, the famous jagged 3,000-foot peak at the head of Loch Long, in mist, wind and rain, McVeigh recalls walking back to the station and enjoying a cosy place with a roaring fire while he and his friends waited for the evening train home. There's plenty more on this issue to enjoy, including a profile of the beautiful Isle of Skye and a survey of the faces that have donned Scottish banknotes, including missionary Mary Slessor, scientist Lord Kelvin, and medical pioneer Elsie Ingalls. To subscribe to Scottish Memories, in either paper or digital format, visit www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's www.celebrate-scotland.co.uk. That's all for this edition of Simply Scottish. Find more episodes, along with an episode guide and music playlists for each show, at simplyscottish.com. If you enjoyed the music on the show, enter our monthly music giveaway to win a Scottish album of your choice from a catalogue of over 4,000, courtesy of musicscotland.com. Enter via Facebook or at simplyscottish.com. We'll conclude with music from Runrig. It's called All the Miles. I'm Andrew McDermott. Join me again next time for more of All Things Scottish.
Simply Scottish is hosted and produced by Andrew McDermott. Show content, copyright, Simply Scottish Media. All music is used with consent of copyright holders. Continue your Simply Scottish experience at simplyscottish.com. Thanks for listening.
And on every word I spoke, you never left me all the miles. You were with me all the way. On every cloud that drifted by, every wave my bow did break, where the fire feet.